no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. This week, we'll hear first from Cavalcade of America, their episode titled The Bridge Builders from February 19th, 1936. Then it's Adventure Ahead and One of the 28th, their episode from October 21st, 1944.
The Cavalcade of America. This evening's story in the Cavalcade of America, presented by DuPont, deals with one of the commonest conveniences that our civilization knows, the bridge. As we pass swiftly over bridges in automobiles or trains, we seldom give them a thought. But like many other things we use, the modern bridge was possible only through the development of science and engineering. And chemistry played a big part in the improvement of steel, in the explosives necessary to mine the ore, and to blast a secure footing for the deep foundations, and in the very paint that protects the mighty girders from the elements. Thus, every bridge stands as practical evidence of the phrase which guides DuPont chemists: better things for better living through chemistry. The DuPont Cavalcade Orchestra sets the stage for these episodes on bridge building with Father of Waters from Ferdy Groffé's Mississippi Suite, followed by a new arrangement of the classic spiritual Deep River. 300 years of settlement and pioneering, America looked upon her rivers as her finest highways. They played a mighty role in winning a wild and rugged land, but their very width and depth and swiftness made them barriers as well. They divided cities and states and long defied the ingenuity of man. Today, even the mightiest have been spanned by broad highways of stone and steel and cable. But less than 100 years ago, the very thought of such a feat was confined to the minds of dreamers. Certainly no such thoughts occurred to a ferryman and his assistant as they huddled around a glowing stove in a shack on the banks of the Hudson one stormy winter night of the year 1841.
Listen to that wind, Jamie.
Aye. A fine night it is to be close by a hot stove.
Stow in another piece of driftwood, lad.
Aye, sir. I don't recall ever seeing the river so full of ice.
Well, I've seen it frozen solid, with teams driving across to Jersey.
Well, at least folks could get across. I bet there ain't been a boat crossed this week.
I hear tell two men tried it in a skiff down river a ways.
Aye? What happened to them?
The ice cakes crushed the skiff to kindling. The last that was seen of the men, they was drifting down to sea on the ice.
Did they make it to shore?
Not so far as anybody knows. The Hudson's in an ugly mood these days.
Listen. Now, who do you suppose would be tearing down to the ferry with a coach in a night the like of this?
Sounds like they're in a big hurry.
I'll see who it is.
Come in, sir. Come in.
I'd like to see the ferry master. Is he here?
I be he. Come in before you have us blown in the river.
Thank you. It is a bad night.
It is that. What can I do for you, sir?
I'm Stephen Adams of Boston. I've come all the way by the fastest coach.
From Boston? That's a wearing journey in such weather.
Yes, but I'm not stopping here. I must be in Philadelphia by high noon tomorrow.
Now, that's what I'd call unfortunate, Mr. Adams.
Why unfortunate? With fresh relays of horses, I can easily make it once I'm across the Hudson.
Aye, once you're across the Hudson. But you'll find no man that'll take you this night, sir.
Nonsense. I'll pay you double the usual fee.
Not for all the gold in New England, sir.
But I must get across. It's a matter of life and death.
Perhaps. But mark the grinding of the ice. It'd be but a matter of death to take a boat into those floes.
I've no time for quibbling. I'll pay you three times the fare.
Not for 10 times 3.
Oh, so you're afraid?
You cannot bait me with the name of coward, Mr. Adams. I've lived long enough to mark the difference twixt folly and courage.
Oh, if there were only a bridge.
That's an idle wish for something that'll never be, sir.
Well, ice or no ice, I'll find a ferryman to take me across tonight.
Needless to say, the traveler from Boston did not cross the Hudson that night, but his taste was a sign of the quickening pace of American life. Iron bridges could and had been built, but such bridges blocked the traffic of the rivers themselves. Higher and longer bridges had to be built, and in that same year of 1841, the means was found to build them. Strangely enough, the discovery had nothing to do with rivers or bridges. The occasion was a meeting of the officials of the Allegheny Portage Canal at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A series of accidents at the mountain portage of the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh Canal was being investigated. And while waiting to be called before the committee, a young engineer by the name of John A. Roebling talks with a friend in an anteroom.
It certainly is good to see you, John. But what brings you to Harrisburg?
I've been called down here to testify before the canal board.
But surely they're not holding you responsible for the trouble they're having at the portage?
No, nothing like that.
The board is ready to hear your plan, Mr. Roebling.
Oh, excuse me, Nathan. I'll see you a little later.
Good luck, John.
Thanks, I'll need it.
Right in here, sir.
Fine.
John A. Roebling of the Pennsylvania State Engineering Department.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, sir. I understand you have some plan whereby the recent accident at the canal portage can be avoided. We have had many suggestions, none of which have been of the slightest value. So I will appreciate it if you will make your remarks brief and to the point.
Well, gentlemen, I'm an engineer, not an orator. I haven't come to make a speech.
Very well, proceed.
Your problem, gentlemen, is to put an end to the costly tie-ups at the Allegheny Portage.
That's hardly news to us, young man.
Every time a hauling rope breaks, a barge is wrecked, and canal traffic is halted for days.
Your plan, young man, your plan.
The hauling ropes are not strong enough for such heavy-duty work.
That is being remedied. We're about to order 5-inch Kentucky hemp hawsers to replace the 3-inch ones now in use.
No rope hawser ever made will stand the wear and tear of that haul, gentlemen.
That remains to be seen.
Meanwhile, you'll lose thousands of dollars in freightage.
Perhaps you have a better suggestion.
I have, sir. In this carpet bag. Here it is. A wire cable.
Wire? Preposterous. Why, it's unheard of.
Young man, you're wasting our time. When 3-inch hemp breaks like a piece of string, what would happen to this stuff you call wire cable?
Why, it's no thicker than my little finger. I'll warrant it wouldn't hold a half-grown calf.
Gentlemen, I've tested this wire cable. It has 5 times the strength and durability of the finest hemp rope ever made, and I'll prove it to you.
Engineer John A. Roebling won his point. Tests verified the truth of his statement, and he secured orders for the Allegheny Portage cable. He returned to his hometown of Saxonburg, Pennsylvania, and started the first wire cable factory in America. The new industry prospered and was later moved to Trenton, New Jersey. Roebling was a bridge engineer, and he applied his wire cables to the principle of suspension bridges, which had heretofore been limited to the use of chains. The growing railroads were clamoring for bridges across the nation's greatest rivers. Roebling built them across the Monongahela, Niagara Gorge, the Ohio at Cincinnati. Longer and longer he built his giant spans until at last he was commissioned to build the greatest structure of his long career, the Brooklyn Bridge. It is the spring of 1869. John A. Roebling, now a man of 63, is inspecting the site of a new bridge. His son and partner, Washington Augustus Roebling, stands with him on a ferry slip on the Brooklyn waterfront, viewing the mammoth project now underway.
Well, Father, at last we're ready to break ground for the towers.
Now, the work should have been started a year ago. Confound these meddling officials with their endless delays.
It's worth waiting for. The longest suspension bridge in the world.
How soon will they have the houses torn down for the approaches?
They'll be out of the way by the time we're ready to sink the cable anchors.
Well, they'd better be.
Hey, we better get off these pilings, Father. The ferry from New York is coming into this slip.
Oh, nonsense. Let it come. They seem to be doing quite a business.
The ferry people don't like the idea of the bridge being built there.
Well, I shouldn't wonder. The bridge will put them out of business.
Yeah, I think the captain is waving us to get off the pilings.
We'll do nothing of the kind.
Get off of there! You want to be knocked in the river?
Tend to your business, Captain, and we'll tend to ours.
Well, the tide is carrying the ferry into the piling.
Stay here. We've sightings to make.
Look out!
No! Wash! What's wrong, Father?
My foot, it's caught between the piling.
All right, here. I'll hold you up.
Back your ferry away, Captain!
What do you think I'm doing?
Now, steady, Father. Steady. Yeah. There. The pilings are spreading.
There. Come on.
Help me down to the pier. I'm afraid my foot is crushed.
Here, lean on me, Dad.
Yeah.
Now, easy, easy.
Just help me to steady myself along these pilings.
Don't try to walk on it, Father. I'll hold you up. Now then, only a few steps more. Come on. There now. There's a ladder leading down to the dock. Yeah. Here we are now.
Yes, sir. Let me give you a hand with the old gent.
Old gent, eh?
There's our carriage over there. Help me get him to it, will you, please? Don't get down, William.
No, sir.
Hold the horses that we get him in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're nearly there now, Father.
I'm all right.
Careful, sir. Careful now. There you are.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Now, just lean back on the cushions, Father. I'll see what I can do to ease the pain. Drive on, William.
Yes, sir.
Wait. Wash, you're needed here to keep the work going. Nothing like a crushed foot is going to stop the building of this bridge.
But, Father, you're badly hurt.
Do as I say. Go back to the job. I'll have this foot fixed and be down myself tomorrow.
Very well, sir. If you don't think you'll need me.
No, I don't need you. The bridge needs you. Drive to a hospital, William.
Yes, sir. Immediately, sir. Get up. Get up.
But John A. Roebling did not come back to his bridge the following day, nor the next. His crushed foot was amputated, and only a few days later, his son rushes home in answer to a hurried call. The doctor meets him outside his father's room.
What is it, Doctor? I came as soon as your message reached me at the bridge.
It was urgent. You must prepare yourself for the worst, Mr. Roebling.
Why, only yesterday he seemed to be recovering.
Tetanus infection set in. We've been unable to check it.
Does he know?
Your father is not a man to be fooled. You'd best go in. There's not much time.
Yes, of course.
I'll see that you're left alone.
Thank you.
Wash, my son.
Yes, Father. I'm here.
They've told you?
Yes. But it can't be true.
No, it's true, all right. Too bad I haven't one of our cables to anchor me to this earth, but since I haven't, how's the work on the bridge progressing?
Why, splendidly, Father. All the men ask to be remembered.
Tell them to finish that bridge, and they'll be remembered.
You can't give up this fight, Father. What will the bridge do without you?
I fought and I'm fighting now, my son, but it'll soon be over. Come closer. I want your solemn promise.
Yes, Father. Anything.
You will finish the bridge. You will let nothing stand in your way.
I promise, sir. Brooklyn Bridge will be built.
Good. Boss, we're engineers, you and I. Engineers are reputed to be a humorless lot, but with their brains crammed with facts and figures...
I suppose we are, Father.
We sometimes overlook the humor of things like this accident of mine. Take that ferry boat that smashed my foot. My bridge will destroy its business, but it seems to have had its revenge.
John A. Roebling died, but his son was appointed chief engineer, and the work on Brooklyn Bridge went on. To build the great towers of the bridge, deep caissons were sunk to bedrock far below the level of the river. The men worked under terrific pressure, Roebling among them. Like hundreds of others, he suffered from the bends, the cause of which was unknown at that time. His health was wrecked. His doctors warned him, but the younger Roebling refused to work men where he himself would not go. And he returns to the caissons once too often.
He's in the office, Doctor. It seems to be another attack of these cramps the men get working down in the caissons.
I was afraid this would happen. I've warned him.
Right in here, Doctor.
Roebling?
Hello, Doctor. I knew they'd send for you. Can't a man get a cramp without...
Oh, take it easy. Lie down there and don't try to get up. You're a very sick man, only... You won't admit it.
Nonsense. I'm perfectly...
I don't try to tell you how to build bridges. Don't you try to tell me my business.
There's no use your telling me that I've got to quit work.
Perhaps not, but I'm going to tell you just the same. We've been friends ever since your father died, Roebling. And as a friend, as well as a physician, I'm telling you that you must have rest and quiet, or you'll never live to see this bridge completed.
You mean that?
Absolutely. You go down in those caissons again, I can't answer for what will surely happen.
The work's going along great, Mr. Roebling. Why don't you do as the doctor says and take a couple of months off and rest up? I know there isn't a man on the job that'd begrudge you a rest, and they'll do their level best while you're gone, I can promise you that.
I want you to promise me you'll stay away from the bridge for at least 6 months.
All right. I agree. I'll stay away from the bridge for 6 months. But don't think for a minute that I'll quit bossing the job. I can see everything that's going on from the porch of my house, and I'll keep my eye on the job even if I have to use a wheelchair and a telescope.
Washington Roebling kept his promise. He supervised the completion of Brooklyn Bridge from a wheelchair, and lived to see the completion of his work, which stands today as a proud monument to his courage and determination. Cavalcade of America, brought to you by DuPont, moves to 1931, when the dream of spanning the lower Hudson River became an accomplished fact with the completion of the George Washington Bridge. It was proclaimed a new triumph of engineering skill, but to the millions who have used it, the bridge is viewed in simpler terms. Not long ago, reporters gathered at its busy toll gates on the occasion of the crossing of the millionth car.
93.
Hey, Shorty.
Get set for a picture.
I'll bet you 2 cents to a bald-headed mule the millionth car to pass over the bridge is driven by a woman.
I'll give you 2-1 odds it's a man.
90. All right, fellas. Get ready with your questions. We can't hold up traffic too long.
97.
We're set. 98. 9. Hey, Shorty, you're loose.
Huh?
It's that coupe coming up, and there's a man at the wheel. Get a shot as he drives up to the table. Just a minute, sir. Yours is the millionth car to cross the George Washington Bridge.
Oh, that a fact?
That's right. We'd like to get your reaction.
Mind giving us your name?
Not at all.
Henry Selden.
Address? Englewood, New Jersey.
Do you use the George Washington Bridge often, Mr. Selden?
Every day.
I work in New York and drive in.
Well, what does it mean to you to have this bridge across the Hudson?
Plenty. It means I can get home from work while there's still light enough to work in my vegetable garden.
George Washington Bridge still stands supreme, but it is soon to be eclipsed by a greater span across San Francisco's Golden Gate. In the swift tempo of our modern life, the George Washington Bridge is history. The new Golden Gate Bridge is an unfinished chapter in the annals of bridge construction. It is the mecca of engineers the world over. Officially and unofficially, they come to study the methods of American engineers. Let us join a European bridge expert as he inspects one of the great towers. He is shown over the project by one of the engineers in charge, and the two men are accompanied by their wives and the young son of the American engineer. It's during the noon hour. The bridge workers are awaiting the signal to resume the work that has been in progress for over 3 years.
Hey, Thomas, what's the matter with your gang? We put the two girders to your one this morning.
I always figured you couldn't count, and now I know it.
Yeah, that's right. That's telling them, Steve. Wait till the whistle blows. We'll show them how girders ought to be running.
That's right. Yeah, that's what you say. Here comes the boss. Ask him which is number one gang. Howdy, boss.
Hi, boss.
Hello,
boss.
Hello, Steve. How'd it go this morning?
Just fine, sir. If it wasn't for Sullivan and his slowpokes, we'd be even farther ahead of schedule.
Would you listen to him? I leave it to you, boss. Ain't we number one gang?
Uh-oh. You're not going to get me into that argument again. Monsieur Renaud, these men are members of the... two finest rigging gangs in the world.
Yeah, that's right, boss.
Gentlemen, it is a great pleasure. I must congratulate you all on your work upon this magnificent bridge.
Thanks. Now, monsieur, if you'll come this way while the men are off the tower, I'll show you a little problem that gave us quite a headache.
Oh, but certainly. Would it be possible for the ladies to accompany us? My wife, she's most interested. Always she must listen to me talk of bridges, so she feels she should know something about it.
Why, of course. It'll be perfectly safe. Ruth!
Oh, yes, Bob?
Will you and Madame Renault come this way?
Oh, may I come too far?
All right, Jimmy, come along. But mind you, no climbing up on the guardrails to watch the steamers.
Oh, now, please be careful, Jimmy. The men, they seem very happy, monsieur.
Well, they're pretty proud to be working on the bridge. And there's keen rivalry between the various crews.
Fine workmen. They're the most important. Without them, all the steel and concrete in the world would not build such a bridge as this. Tell me, monsieur, what is the clearance above mean high water this bridge deck is to have?
Let me tell Monsieur Renault, Father.
All right, Jimmy. See if you can remember the figures.
The minimum vertical clearance at center is 220 feet, 100 feet greater than the Brooklyn Bridge, and 20 feet more than the George Washington Bridge.
That's right, Jimmy.
The towers are 746 feet above the water. The central span measures 4,200 feet, 4/5 of a mile. It is 3 times the length of the Brooklyn Bridge span and 700 feet longer than the George Washington Bridge. Now, Jimmy, please, now that's enough.
Oh, but, madame, let him go on. I'm most interested.
Don't encourage him, Monsieur Renault. I think he's accumulated more facts about the bridge than any of us on the job.
Oh, what a wonderful view from here. All of the bay. And down below the big ocean liner, they go out to sea.
Now, below the work is finished. It is above that interests me. I see the cable work is almost ready for the, what you call them in English? Suppose you tell me, Monsieur Jimmy.
You mean the suspenders, sir?
Oui, that is it.
The Roebling Company has the contract for all cables, and the bridge will require a total wire length of 80,000 miles.
Well,
now, Jimmy, I think you'd better let your father explain the bridge to Monsieur Renault.
But no, your husband is too modest. He is like his men. To him, it is a job to be done. Tell me, Monsieur Jimmy, What are you going to do when you become a man?
Well, sir, first I'm going to an engineering college, and I'm going to build a suspension bridge that will make this one look like a toy.
It is plain to see. We impress the younger generation not at all.
Come on, boys. That means time to get back to work.
Come on, men. Let's build ourselves a bridge.
All right, come on.
The bridges that man builds over rivers to speed his travel over natural obstacles may be compared with the achievements of chemical science that bridge the way to a fuller life for everyone. Likewise, the history of chemistry shows that chemical processes used to make one product often bridge the way to other products. The production of commercial explosives used in blasting foundations for the bridges mentioned in tonight's stories call for large quantities of nitric acid, such as DuPont makes in a plant near Charleston, West Virginia. In this plant, with the aid of coal, hydrogen is taken from the water and nitrogen from the air. Then these two gases are combined under tremendous pressure, as high as 15,000 pounds to the square inch, to produce liquid ammonia. In this same plant, by changing the gas mixtures but using the same high pressures, other important products are obtained, and one of them is the chief ingredient of Zerone, Z-E-R-O-N-E, a DuPont antifreeze solution for automobile radiators. Many of us remember when the first signs of cold weather meant jacking up your car in the garage, draining the radiator, and leaving it there until spring. But think of this winter, one of the severest in years. We go merrily along, running our cars day after day in zero temperatures or below. Why? Because chemical research has developed radiator antifreeze solutions that make such comfort and convenience possible. I can tell you that meant a lot to motorists throughout the East who woke up this morning to find zero temperatures had arrived overnight. DuPont chemists created Zerone as an especially efficient, scientific, economical, and non-corrosive antifreeze, which, if used in proper quantities, will protect the radiator of your car against freezing down to any temperature. More than 3 million motorists are enjoying the services of their cars this winter because of the protection which Zerone affords. The development of this product has opened up a new market for American coal, thousands of tons of which are used in DuPont's high-pressure plant. The valuable products of this single enterprise in chemical research amply justify the DuPont phrase, "Better things for better living through chemistry." Next week at this same time, DuPont will present Heroes of the Sea, another dramatic episode in the Cavalcade of America. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York.
Adventure ahead. The National Broadcasting Company presents another in the stories of famous stories for the young of all ages. Adventure ahead. This week, a tale of piracy and courage in the days of Napoleon, based on one of the classic books by G.A. Henty, master storyteller of another generation, titled One of the 28. And now, adventure ahead. Year 1812. The clouds of war hung heavily over England. The armies of Napoleon threatened all of Europe, and everywhere was trouble and unrest, even on the sea. For in those days, the oceans were beset with pirates, picaroons, corsairs, who sailed with death before the mast and laughed at law and order.
Drink of the party, friends! Here's to our ship, the Barbary,
The fastest privateer afloat.
No British man of war will ever catch us.
And what about the captain, eh? What about Captain Skelly?
A toast!
Captain Skelly! A toast! Here's to the greatest buccaneer of us all, to Captain Skelly, King of the Sea!
That's what they call me, King of the Sea. I could outrun, outfight any ship afloat, and there's no man alive I'm afraid of. Why, right now, we're straight into the channel under the noses of the English. And the French, too.
Yeah.
20 guns and 80 men. And our 28th voyage to the Indies. The world is ours, men. To kill, to steal, to do with as we please.
Yes, they were a swarthy crew of renegades, marauding buccaneers, sailing under the Jolly Roger. But for young Ralph Conway, he wasn't thinking about pirates that afternoon at his mother's cottage near the sea.
That's you, Ralph?
Yes, Mother.
My, you didn't waste any time getting home from school.
I'm anxious about my fishing trip tonight, Mother.
Mr. McDonough stopped by. Said his boat would be ready about 9 o'clock.
Good, I'll be there.
And how was school today?
Oh, just fine, Mother. Only a few more weeks to go, and then...
You still want to join the army, Ralph?
Oh, yes, Mother. I want to go over on the continent like Father did and fight against Napoleon.
Oh, son, you're too young to be a soldier.
I'm 16.
16? Is that an age for dealing with men? Dangerous men? Fighting men?
I'm not a child, Mother.
Someday, perhaps, you will be a soldier. A brave man like your father. But for now, you have much to learn.
Yes, Mother.
I want you to be careful, son, on these little trips with Mr. McDonough. There's so much trouble on the water, so many ships about. Pirate ships, men of war.
I'll be all right, Mother. Nothing will happen to me.
Well, then, all snug off, sir?
Yes, Mr. McDonough.
Good. Be helpful to an old fisherman having a lad like you along, too. Especially on the black night.
Certainly is dark and cloudy.
Aye. The mist rolling in from the ocean, too.
I should think you'd be lost out here, Major McDonough. How do you know which way you're sailing?
Oh, instinct, lad. Instinct. We'll get back to the village, all right?
I hope so.
Keep your eye lifted, though, lad. Not many craft about these waters, but we might tumble against one. Watch out for lights.
I don't think I could see a ship's light in this mist.
No. And what's worse, ships nowadays don't always carry lights either.
Oh, I thought they had to. There's a law, a sea law.
Aye. But in war times, it's not always convenient.
What do you mean, Mr. McDonough?
Well, a peaceful merchantman don't want to show her lights to any privateers that may happen to be cruising about. And you can be sure the pirates don't sail with lights.
Oh.
Yeah, sea folk prefer risking the chance of running into each other rather than be caught by some privateer.
And are there any pirates here in the channel, Mr. McDonough? Are there?
Well, it's hard to say, lad.
Yes?
Probably not.
Oh.
But there's apt to be some merchantmen around. Better keep a sharp watch for lights.
Yes, sir.
We'll start bringing in our nets in a few hours. That'll keep us busy till we start for shore. Ought to get a fine haul of fish, Ralph.
I hope I can come out again with you soon.
Well, I don't see why not.
That'll be fine.
You like the sea, do you, lad?
Oh, yes, Mr. McDonough. I wish I could sail the seas in a big ship. A regular windjammer.
Oh, I thought you wanted to be a soldier.
Well, I do, sir. That is, mainly, but it's exciting out here on the water. Even if it is so dark and...
Listen.
Yes?
Listen. That's a ship. A ship nearby, lad.
Yes, I hear the noise, but I can't see.
There it is.
They're coming right at us.
The gas lamp.
It's bearing down on it. No light. Help! Help us!
Go, help!
Mr. McDonough!
In the water!
Help!
A light! Let's have a light!
A boy!
Get
hold of my sword. Get hold of
that sword. Help! Help! Help!
Help!
Help!
Help! Help!
Help!
He don't look so good.
Meet his throat and throw him back in, I say.
Looks more dead than alive.
He'll come to all right. Easy now, lad. Easy there.
Oh. Where am I?
Boy! He's just a boy.
Looks to be strapping enough. Oh. Probably could do more work aboard the ship than you, Pedro.
Bah! He better not get in my way.
Easy, lad. Easy.
So dark. The water. Where am I?
You're safe enough, lad. You're aboard ship.
You bore down on us, our boat. Mr. McDonough, where is he?
You're the only one I managed to save, lad. Someone else in your boat?
Yes, a fisherman. We must save him.
Too late for that, lad. Never find him in this mist.
And you saved me?
Aye.
But who are you?
And my name's Jack. I'm just another... Well, just another hand aboard the Belle Marie.
I'm most grateful to you, Jack, for saving my life.
It's all right, lad.
As soon as you can put me ashore,
ashore?
Why, yes.
You'll never be put ashore in England from this ship. You're aboard the brigantine, Belle Marie.
The Belle Marie? Under what flag?
The Belle Marie flies no flag.
A privateer?
Aye. And since you've cast your lot with ours, best we go below and meet Captain Skelly.
This is our visitor, eh, Jack?
Aye, Captain Skelly. Just as I fished him out of the water.
Well, lad?
Yes, sir?
Explain why you ran down my ship.
What, sir?
You ain't deaf.
But, sir, I was in a boat, a small boat, a fishing smack with a friend of mine, and you ran us down.
What's that? Nobody contradicts Captain Skelly. If I say you ran into the Belle Marie, you ran into the Belle Marie.
But that's not the way it happened. Why, it was...
You don't look like a fisherman. Not in those clothes.
No, sir, I'm not. I was only out for a night fishing, and I was going
What's your name?
Ralph Conway.
From Dover, Captain Skelly.
Aye? Well, it'll be a long time till you see Dover again. I'll mark you that.
But, sir, can't you put me ashore somewhere?
Ashore? Belle Marie don't put into any port for passengers. Why, there'd be British men of war down on us before we hove to.
But my mother, sir, she'll be worried.
Oh. Jump overboard if you like. That's one way of leaving the Belle Marie. Eh, Jack? I'll even provide a plank so you can walk over the gunwale. Oh. If you want, you can stay aboard.
What do you mean, sir?
The crew's short-handed. We had a few accidents with some of the men. Right now, we can use a good strong lad.
But you mean... You mean be a pirate?
Pirate be blowed. We've got our old hands for overhauling merchantmen, doing the dirty work. What we need are able seamen for the long trip ahead to the Indies.
The Indies?
San Domingo, Jamaica, Tortugas. Our 28th trip. Think you want a berth?
Well, I... Mine is not the choice, sir.
It'll make a man out of you.
It will, sir.
You'll learn a lot about the world aboard the Belle Marie.
Yes.
And you'll find the buccaneers ain't as bad as landsmen think. Of course, we don't mind killing or stealing when we have to. But aboard ship, we've got our own law and order under my command. As long as you do your work and don't try to escape, you'll be treated fair and square.
Yes, sir.
Take him forward, Jack. Sling a hammock for him.
Aye, Captain.
I'm turning him over to you, Jack. He's in your charge.
Aye, aye, sir.
And I expect you to make a seaman out of him.
Light along there, Conway. Break out the spinnaker.
Yes, sir.
Ahoy, aloft! Send the
sir.
Conway.
Yes, Captain.
From now on, you're assigned the starboard watch.
Well, Ralph, what do you think of the Belle Marie after a month at sea?
Oh, she's a fine ship with all her canvas out. Moving fast.
Privateers have to be fast, lad. And the Belle Marie is the lightest and fastest of them all.
Provisions are running low, Captain.
Aye. Flip the deck for action.
Aye, sir.
We'll lay to and wait for merchantmen beating up in the southwest wind from Greece. Sardinia. Rich prizes, those ships.
Quiet aboard ship today, eh, Ralph?
I thought pirate ships were always fighting, plundering.
Well, not always. Big ships like the Belle Marie wait for big prizes.
Oh, I see.
Captain Skelly's after... waiting here for merchantmen loaded with gold or silver or silk.
Seems strange for a ship to be laying to without a square of canvas when the wind's blowing fresh.
Yes, but we'll be fast enough underway when the captain sights a likely prize. You'll see action soon enough, lad. Why, we'll probably overhaul and strip a dozen ships before we reach Tortuga.
Our destination?
Aye.
It all seems terrible to think about, Jack. Stealing, killing people.
Yes, it would to you. But I've had to get used to it, even though I hate it.
You seem to be a decent sort of seaman, Jack. How did you get to be a pirate?
Well, lad, 5 years ago, when I was just an ordinary seaman, the French threw me in prison on a trumped-up charge. And I escaped.
From prison?
Yes, I was desperate. But after that, I had no sea papers. I had to work at something. And since I knew no other trade, it was either this or starve. But I don't like it, lad. Any more than you do.
I thought you felt that way.
I'll have no part of their dirtiest work. Looting? Killing? I'm here mainly to keep the ship on the sail. Just like you. I still dream of escaping.
So do I, Jack. But I can see it won't be easy.
You're right, lad. Of course, we'd be free if a British man of war would overhaul us, but that's not likely. As long as Captain Skelly sails the brig.
The ship's been lucky not to have been captured or sunk by a warship.
It's not luck altogether, lad. Whatever else he is, the captain's a real sailor, though a sly one. And with our great spread of canvas, there's not a ship afloat that can overtake us.
Yes, the Belle Marie's a good ship, fallen into bad hands. That crew, Jack, they're so brutal.
Yes, Frenchmen, Moors, Portuguese, Indians from Ceylon, half-castes. Every man is apt with an oar as a knife or a belaying pin.
What about the captain?
He's a vicious, bloodthirsty man when he's around.
Jack, do you think he'd kill me if he caught me trying to escape?
Still thinking about escape.
Yes, and every day since I've been aboard the Belle Marie. Is there a way, Jack?
Not an easy way.
I must get back to England. Some way, somehow.
Patience, lad. Wait till we reach the Indies. Then take your chance.
Is there a chance, Jack? Is there?
A ship on the starboard.
A prize ship, Jack?
Likely.
All hands! Break out the sails! Trim along! Trim the oars!
Yes, there she is on the horizon.
Aye.
Ah,
must be a merchantman.
Look alive here. Look, our canvas to overtake her. And when we do, I'll make them wish they'd never run from Captain Skelly. And the cannon! Man, all the cannons, we're closing in! Could you fly?
Captain, they're surrendering. They've struck their flag.
Well, give them a broadside anyway. Break back decks from center stern. I've got no time for prisoners. Down with the men! Cut them down! Use your knife!
No! No! Don't kill me! No! I'll bargain for my life! Anything for my life!
Oh.
Anything aboard is yours, but spare my life!
Life? What do you offer?
Here, the key! The key to the gold chest!
The gold, eh?
Here, take it, but spare my life!
All right, I'll take your key, but as for your life...
16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 gold Napoleon for every man of the crew. What's wrong, Jack? Conway? Not taking your share of the spoils?
No, Captain.
Well, if you don't want your gold, I guess the rest of the crew can use it. Yeah, man, help yourself.
Well, I take mine.
And when we reach Tortugas, there'll be even more money and spoils to divide among you. And listen, we're using the island as a rendezvous again. The safest port in the world, and no British man of war afloat will ever catch us there.
Rendezvous, Ralph. The island of Tortugas.
It's not very big.
No.
Just one hill rising up at this end of the island.
Aye. And Jack, that's a landmark for the Belle Marie.
A landmark?
There's a concealed channel, a narrow inlet at the base of that hill.
Yes?
A narrow passage leading to a small harbor. The only protected harbor on the island.
But I can't see it from here.
No. The entrance is well hidden. So is the harbor. Why, the Belle Marie can lay to for weeks if we want, and never worry about a man of war.
Don't the British warships know about it?
No, they patrol these waters once in a while, but they suspect nothing.
It's amazing. A secret harbor.
Big enough to hold 5 or 6 ships the size of the Belle Marie.
It doesn't seem possible, looking at the coast from here.
You'll see a lot of things your eyes won't believe after we sail through the narrow channel.
What do you mean?
Storehouses, buildings, sheds, filled with the loot from 100 ships. Gold, silver, precious gems, spices, silks from the Orient. Why, Captain Skelly's been using this base as a rendezvous for over 15 years. And all the loot is stored right here on the island of Tortugas.
Get a move on there! Break out that cargo! I haven't got all day. Lively there!
Aye, aye.
You there, Conway!
Aye, aye, Captain.
I want to talk to you. Come into my cabin.
Yes, sir.
Now then, Conway.
Yes, Captain.
As soon as our booty is unloaded, I'm sending most of the crew ashore for a day on dry land. You and Jack can join them.
Thank you, sir.
But don't be getting any strange ideas in your head, young men, about running away, escaping from the Belle Marie.
No, sir.
Strange to me, you have no stomach for a pirate's life. There's not much you can do about it. We saved your life 2 months ago in the Channel. And for that, you owe us a debt. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I expect to keep you a prisoner on the Belle Marie until that debt is paid. Attempt to escape. Keep, and I'll catch you and kill you.
Seems like we'll never reach the top of this hill, Jack.
I never knew it was so high.
Belle Marie looks awfully small back there in the harbor.
Aye, lad. She's a long way off.
But from the way Captain Skelly talked this morning, I expect he's got his spyglass on every move we make.
Aye. You still thinking about escaping?
Every minute I'm awake, Jack. But I suppose it's hopeless.
Aye. It is that.
Well, almost to the top.
Aye. Almost.
We ought to be able to see a great distance from up here.
Aye, but there'll be nothing to see but miles of ocean. Why, there isn't
Jack. Jack, look.
Eh?
A ship. Look, a ship.
A ship? It is a ship. A man of war. Standing toward the island, too.
A schooner?
Aye, and British.
British? What's she doing here?
I don't know.
Do you suppose they know about the Belle Marie?
How could they?
But they must suspect they're dropping anchor. See there, Jack?
Aye. Now, that's strange.
But they're not putting over a boat.
Then they can't know about the hidden channel, the harbor.
No, perhaps not. But they could be told about it.
Eh?
If they knew about the Belle Marie and the secret harbor, they could attack and capture the pirates. And we'd be free, Jack. We'd be free.
But how can we tell them? Everyone on the Belle Marie can see us up here. We can't signal the warship.
No, but there must be something we can do.
Well, No. No, lad.
That's our chance of freedom out there, Jack. We can't stand by and do nothing.
But, Ralph, the only way to reach that man of war is through the channel, the way the Belle Marie sailed in.
That's true.
And Captain Skelly's mounted guards on each side of the entrance. If we tried to slip through, the men would see us, fire on us.
Yes. In the daytime, they would. But what about after dark?
After dark?
We might get through.
It's too risky, lad. Besides, if we did slip through, the warship might be gone by nightfall.
That's a chance we'd have to take. But it's worth it.
I don't know. I'm afraid.
I'm willing to try it, Jack, if I can get a long boat from the harbor beach. Are you with me, Jack?
I want to go, lad. But I'm afraid to break away. Afraid of what they'll do to me, Captain Skelly and the crew, if they caught me.
Then I'm going alone, Jack. Tonight. I must get to that man of war.
I only wish I had your courage.
You won't tell. You won't tell where I've gone.
No, Ralph. You can trust me. And more than that, I'll see that you get a boat.
Carter, I must reach that ship. I must.
Who goes there? Who goes there?
He hears me. But can he see me?
Speak up or I'll fire!
And you took me aboard. That's the whole story, Captain Arnold.
I see.
You must believe me, Captain. I've had no part in the piracy, and neither has my friend.
But your story is incredible, young man. How do I know that you're telling the truth?
Sir, I've risked everything to come aboard this ship tonight. It took me nearly 3 hours to row that short distance, from out of prison to freedom. You must believe me, sir, else why should I want so to return to England?
Well, I don't know quite what to say, Master Conway. But if what you say is true, it may be fortunate indeed that you found your way out to us.
How do you mean, sir?
My ship's only mission is to search out privateers, pirates, and freebooters. And I've been after the Belle Marie for over 2 years. But because she's so sleek and fast, I must admit, I've never even caught sight of her.
Then this is your chance, sir. To capture her before she can spread canvas and get away. This time she's fairly trapped.
And you say she's hidden in a sort of sheltered harbor that can't be seen from a distance.
That's right, sir.
How many men aboard her?
Roughly 60, sir. About 20 were lost at sea or killed by Captain Skelly.
60 men. 50 of my crew should be an even match for them. Tell me, Master Conway.
Yes, sir?
Would you lead me and my men through the concealed inlet to the Belle Marie so that we could attack and capture Skelly and his cutthroats?
Why, of course, sir.
Good. I think that will prove your loyalty to the king and earn you a passage back to England as well.
Oh, thank you, sir.
We'll get underway within the hour and make use of two important weapons, darkness and silence.
Yes, sir.
I plan to attack all points at once to take every one of these scoundrels alive if I can. For chains at the yardarm.
Not every one of them, sir.
Eh? Oh, your friend.
Yes, sir. If you could spare Jack, he's a good man.
I'm asking you again, Jack. I'm asking you again.
Yes, Captain.
What happened to that boy, Conway?
I don't know.
I watched the two of you this morning up on the hill. I knew he must have been plotting something. Where did he go? What happened to him?
I don't know. I can't tell you. I'll make you talk. You see this knife? Speak up, Jack. For the last time, I'm asking you, where's that boy, Conway? I'm asking you for the last time. And for the last time, I'm still saying,
I don't know.
Very well, Jack. If it takes cold steel to loosen your tongue...
Oh, no, you don't, Captain Skelly.
What's
now that? You made it.
Yes, we're here, Jack. I'll relieve you of that knife, Captain.
Conway, I'll kill you for this.
No, I don't think you will, Captain Skelly. Your days of killing and plunder are over.
Take him, men.
All right. Stand back.
Well, Master Conway, it looks as though we've taken the whole ship without so much as firing a shot.
The whole ship?
I'm afraid so, Captain Skelly.
But you'll never take me out of my way, or I'll...
He's dead, sir.
Yes. Aye, lad. We've saved the government the expense of bringing the renegade to trial.
And you avenged the death, Captain, of hundreds of innocent men.
Aye. Thanks to young Conway here... And I might say, young man...
Yes, sir?
If there was ever any doubt of it, I think you've proved yourself a man tonight.
I have, sir.
You have indeed.
Thank you, sir.
I was a boy once myself. And I have an idea you'll do just as well in the army when you get back to England. They need men like you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you were right there in fighting with the troops that finally whipped Napoleon.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another one. Between now and then, there's more old-time radio at relicradio.com. Past episodes, links to everything else, all the other shows, our forum, Shoutcast stream, and a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. It's how this is all made possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.